The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the studio. We have Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney once again coming to you live from the Azalea House just across the street from Augusta National Golf Course. We'll be talking with them momentarily as we're all ready. And it started the 80th Masters Tournament at Augusta, Georgia for the biggest tournament for a lot of people all year long. There are very few people that would want to win any title more than they want to win the Masters. Certainly Jordan Spieth, defending champion, would love to be one of those rare back-to-back winners at Augusta. He tees off in just under an hour from now, and he's still on the practice range getting ready to warm up. There are a number of golfers out on the golf course, and Jim Herman. Remember Jim Herman? No, you don't, because Jim Herman was kind of a journeyman, still is, but somehow he's caught on fire. He wins the Shell Houston Open just last week to get into the last spot available, gets into the Masters, and he starts out with two straight birdies, so through three holes. He is two under, and at some point, somebody's going to tell him, you know what, you led the Masters. It doesn't matter, there are only five guys on the course. He was leading the Masters, so he is at two under par, and congratulations to Jim Herman. So many things to talk about today as it is opening day for the 80th Masters. Again, Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney coming to us from the Azalea House in a little bit chilly Augusta, Georgia. Frank, is the weather going to be a factor today? Because the wind's starting to kick up there. They say it's going to get up to about 20 to 25 miles an hour for those late afternoon guys. It could really be a factor here, couldn't it?
Those greens are so slick. They were watering everything yesterday and last night, Tim. And if the wind gets up to that speed, they won't be able to mark a ball. Yeah. it's really brisk. We're here at the Azalea House, Brendan and I. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Cold. It's cold.
It's not that cold. It's gorgeous. It's crisp Georgia day. You couldn't ask for a better, nicer environment, but you couldn't ask to be at a nicer place other than the Azalea House.
The Azalea House. You're right. Breakfast, coffee, everything. Yeah, we're having a great time.
Got a great team.
And by the way, the weather forecast, again, is supposed to be cold tonight. It's going to get in the 30s tonight. So tomorrow and even on Saturday morning's round, if you're lucky enough to make the cut, Saturday morning's first guys off, there might be a delay because it's supposed to be, again, in the high 30s, low 40s when they go off on Saturday morning. So the weather certainly could be a factor, although they're saying now that it looks like the rain chances have diminished. And, Frank, you and I talk about meteorologists all the time. Why do we listen to these guys on Monday? They don't know what's going to happen
on
Thursday. So there was a 40% chance of rain today, but I'm pretty sure it's clear skies. Am I not? It's cold and chilly, maybe, but the skies are clear.
You can't see a cloud in the sky.
It's crystal clear. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. Sun,
so there's
crystal
that rain.
Clear,
there's, cold. There's that rain coming in. So it looks like at least the rain would be diminished, but still have to deal with some of the – matter of fact, some of the prognosticators were saying with the wind kicking up that if anyone shoots even 67, 68 today because of that wind, and as you said, Frank, the way the course plays naturally anyway, that would be a great score, 68, 67. So maybe unrealistic to think somebody's going to be shooting, other than Jim Herman, a 64, 65 in today's opening round.
Stephen Bowditch has a chance of shooting 67 today?
Yes, on the front nine.
Ouch. Just fellas. Hey, we love Stephen.
Stephen Bowditch is three over through four holes, so his problems continue for Stephen Bowditch. We'll keep you updated again on the leaderboard as they continue to be teeing off. Sandy Lyle, who great story here with Sandy Lyle. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Sandy Lyle, a champion, so that's why he gets in. He won in, am I wrong in this, 87? I believe.
Correct.
1987.
Yes,
when Sandy Lyle
year after,
yeah. Year after, you know Nicklaus. Yeah.
You know who's on his bag? Esteban Toledo.
On really? The Champions Are you tour, serious?
He said, "You know what? If you want to, you can." Because he never got Toledo. Never made it to the Masters as a player on the PGA Tour. Certainly not on the PGA Tour Champions Tour as well. And he's doing very well on the PGA Tour Champions. But he talked to Sandy Lyle and he said, "You know what? I'll let you come to the Masters. You can carry my bag if you want to carry my bag." So he is caddying for Sandy Lyle.
Well, Esteban Toledo, top five finisher at the Senior PGA Championship presented by KitchenAid at the French Lick Resort. Had to drop that in there.
Jeez,
you know, he was a boxer back in the day. That was his hobby.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. But
and so was our guest yesterday. Too Tall Jones was a boxer. Tutal Jones.
Yeah. He's a big guy. But we're going to bring in another really big guy here, Lieutenant Aaron Ojard from the Veterans Golf Association, all the way from grew up in Minnesota, living up in the D.C. area now. Aaron, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
There it is. There's that voice. That's better. Yeah. Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm great. Been working on my radio voice. So
that sounds good. Let's do a commercial real quick. Hey, everybody, come today
to the Masters, presented by the Azalea House.
And the Veteran Golfers Association.
And the Veteran Golfers Association.
That's correct. A big part, yeah.
I am. I'm a co-founder of the VGA, Veteran Golfers Association. Bringing competitive golf to veterans and their family members across the U.S.
So Tuesday for the Troops, you guys launched this this week. It was exciting. Frank and I had the opportunity to broadcast there and got a couple holes in with a couple of guys. Tell us about Tuesday for the Troops, what it means to you guys, and how does somebody get involved with it?
So Tuesday for the Troops, this was our inaugural event. We brought out a bunch of veteran golfers, got some celebrities involved. It's a big fundraiser for us. We're not a big fundraising organization with our tournaments. Our tournaments are meant for competition for the veterans. But the Tuesday for the Troops is a big military appreciation golf tournament during a little tournament that happens to be in town in Augusta this week. A lot of veterans come to town to watch it, and we figured let's start a tradition for veterans to be able to get out and play if they want to get involved with the VGA and launch this event. It was just phenomenal.
Now you've had some really competitive guys out there, Mike Attilli.
Yeah, Mike is he's a stick. He came into our national championship
still active military.
Still active duty. 1.2 index, and came in and actually beat a couple of guys that were scratch. Beat a guy, Garrett Garland, who's actually a plus 2.7 at 71 years old.
Oh, yeah. Frank and I played a few holes with him.
Oh.
Probably weighs about 142 pounds.
He hits the ball 300 plus every time he touches it.
He knocks it out there.
It's unbelievable.
But a lot of your mates out there, you look at golf, and we're all somehow tied in with golf. It's fun and whatnot. But a lot of the veterans that are playing in the association, you guys use golf as a tool, as a therapy tool. Tell us a little bit about how the game of golf has not only changed your life, but sort of got you going to where you are today.
Yeah, actually, credit with saving my life. Statistics are showing that well over 10% of service members who have served overseas in the combat zone are coming back and suffering from post-traumatic stress. Getting out and talking about it.
Yeah.
People don't want to admit that they're having problems. The machismo, you don't want to admit to it. And that was one of my problems. I didn't have PTSD, post-traumatic stress. I just couldn't sleep.
Right.
I thought about it a lot, but I didn't have PTS. I didn't suffer from it, even though I was having flashbacks and, seeing things that I saw over there continually. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have anger issues. Not at all. Started to get a little secluded in my lifestyle, really kind of going inside myself. And the game of golf got me back out. Got me back outside, enjoying the weather, enjoying life, gave me that competitive fire again. So
5 hours of therapy every day, right?
It is. You get out there with another buddy, and you can talk about what you're going through, what you went through, and, kind of try to put some pieces back together.
Now, your background, you're a neonatal nurse.
That's correct.
So you're a caring, giving guy, taking care of the little babies that came in, and then you got your assignment, and you went over to Afghanistan, and you weren't delivering babies there. You were in the heat, man. You were level 3, right?
Yep. And so it was the Role 3 hospital. It's the highest acuity care that you could get in Afghanistan at the time. We had in Kandahar. It's where I was stationed back in 2009. And if you remember back from any of the news stories, we had a lot of fighting going on then. And, we had a guy decided to walk off post, Bergdahl, and a lot of missions changed to go search for him. And we lost a lot of guys and had a lot of injuries coming in because of those operations. But, you know, we did our job. So going from working with in the NICU, neonatal, you know, with my patients weighing anywhere from, you know, 355 grams, equivalent to a can of Coke, to the biggest patients we had was about 11 pounds. And, you know, getting into Kandahar working, you know, it was a total culture shock and a vertical learning curve for me.
Wow.
So you showed me yesterday a great article written by Tom Coyne at Sports Illustrated about your dream foursome. And I was reading the article yesterday. Thank you for sharing. Guys were writing in about, hey, I want to play with Tiger. I want to play with Phil. I want to play with this. You wrote in your dream foursome.
Yeah.
And you got to tell us a little bit about the story in Sports Illustrated and how we could find it. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much, you know, three guys that not many people have heard of. Invited one of my best friends, James Danaher. He was my mentor in NICU nursing. Helped me through a real hard time after I got back from deployment. Went through a real ugly divorce, and James was there for me a lot. Another guy, Mark Dauphin. He's a Canadian trauma doctor. He was in charge of the hospital where I was at in Kandahar. And, you know, just really his attitude, his morale boost, and his friendship got me through that deployment. The first trauma that I was involved in, I froze. Pretty bad Canadian troop IED explosion was a triple amputee. And I came into the trauma bay as the critical care nurse, and I froze. And Mark got in my ear and, you know, very politely said, you start moving or my boot is going to find a place to land. And
wow.
Yeah, and then the third guy was this short little former PGA player, current PGA pro, Jim Estes. Actually made the cut at French Lick last year.
Yeah, Jim's a great guy, club professional out of Maryland.
Yep, at Olney Golf Park. Jim was my swing coach. I went from, you know, approximately 8 handicap, low 80s cut consistently. To after my injury, I couldn't break 110 just because I couldn't swing the club without pain. So Jim taught me how to swing without pain, you know, to swing around it. And, you know, it's just three guys I credited with saving my life in different ways, you know. And so I said, you know, I had an opportunity to golf with Jack Nicklaus. You know, I'd met Tiger, shook his hand, and, you know, met a lot of different pro golfers, and I just said, you know what, I'd rather reunite with guys that I really need to say thank you to.
Well, I think that should be on the opposite foot, and we're thanking you.
Absolutely.
Because without you Absolutely. Guys, this doesn't happen. The Azalea House doesn't happen. The Masters doesn't happen, and our hats definitely go off to you. You know, we see the sports guys, you know, you call people heroes, you know. You got to look at the service members. You have to look at our police and firemen as well. So thanks, man. This is awesome. You're making this experience of the Masters is so much better for us, for Frank and I.
Absolutely.
Just by hanging with you guys. It's pretty cool. And for you guys that aren't there, you're what, 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5".
He's a tiny fella.
I weighed in the other night.
262 and a half.
268 and change, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was after the food that Brendan cooked.
Well, yeah, you know, but I did that on purpose because I'm in a weight loss competition against my other co-founder, Josh Payton.
There you go.
Yeah, so we're going to have a little Biggest Loser competition.
A personal Biggest Loser competition.
Yeah.
Right? So, well, there you go.
Well, perfect. Well, Aaron Ojard, Lieutenant, thank you, sir. We
thank
appreciate
you. For your
you.
Service.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Azalea House at the 80th Masters. Tim, you want to give us a leaderboard update?
No. Here's what we do with Tim, and as we do at the top and the bottom of every hour, are now sweet sounds of Tim Matthews and a leaderboard update.
I'm so glad that you guys had a neonatal expert there because
Aaron's still on the line.
two bigger babies he could never talk to than Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney on a Thursday morning.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, thanks, brother.
So the experience paid off for him. It definitely paid off for him. Okay, here's our leaderboard. Here's what we're looking at. Jim Herman, unfortunately, bogeyed the fourth hole. So he went from 2-under to 1-under. Still has a share for the lead. Derek Baird, now through two holes. And Victor Dubuisson, also at 1-under par. And they're all through two holes. Jaidi is at one under as well. He birdied the first hole. So a lot of people, you know, the first hole, I think for a lot of people as amateurs or inexperienced players at the Masters, it's a bit intimidating. Big dog leg up the hill to the right. But for a lot of golfers, it's not extraordinarily long for these guys. It's 455 yards or thereabouts, depending on the tee. And so for a lot of them, it's a good way to get off to a good start. It is approachable if you hit it down the left side. So for a lot of these guys, you're getting off to a good start. It is when you start to get into the meat of this golf course that the reality kind of sets in on a lot of these golfers. So we'll see how they do. Sandy Lyle is off and finished one hole. As we said, Esteban Toledo is on his bag, caddying for him. He parred the first hole, so he is even par through one. Jordan Spieth is kind of the feature group, at least early on here, that a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on. He'll be going off in approximately 30 minutes or so, and he's playing with Paul Casey and Bryson DeChambeau. And DeChambeau, of course, is the amateur out of SMU who is one of only a handful of guys to ever win the U.S. Amateur and the NCAA Individual Championship in the same year, which he did last year. And he joins the likes of Ryan Moore, the last guy to do it in 2004. Before that, it was Tiger, Phil, and Jack. And that's it. That's a very exclusive group. So a lot of eyes will also be on that group, not just because of Jordan Spieth, but also Bryson DeChambeau. And they go off at 9:48 Eastern time. Tim, is the time that they go.
Hey, Tim, how do you think Bryson DeChambeau, his life is going to change in the next 5 days?
Yeah, I think it's going to be drastically different. It already has changed quite a bit. He forgotten, his senior
forgave,
year.
Forgave. He dropped out.
He did not drop out.
And that's because
that was not by choice.
There's NCAA sanctions against the SMU golf program for, quite honestly,
for basketball violations.
Kind of. They got lumped in there with them, but they had some, you know, texting. I'll tell you exactly. Here's one of the things that NCAA, and Frank knows this, anybody listens to the show, I'm not a fan of the NCAA. They got him for selling golf merchandise, SMU golf merchandise, to these family of these recruits. They sold it to them at their cost, and that was wrong. NCAA said that's a violation. You have to sell them at retail price. And they're like, okay, well,
we
weren't making any money off them. We just figured if the golf shirt cost us $40 and it sold for $70, we gave it to them for $40. They still paid us for it, and they're like, no, that's a violation. So anyway, for things like that, they didn't have a chance to compete in the NCAA tournament. So Bryson said, okay, then I'm kind of foregoing my senior year. He is a physics major, so he's a very unique guy in that we all know this by now, but he plays with the same length clubs. Every club except for his woods are the same length in his bag, very unique. He doesn't have numbered clubs. In other words, he doesn't ask for his 8-iron or 6-iron. They just have degrees on them. So he plays with a 42-degree.
And they all have names. He has them all named, too.
Yeah, yeah, he named them after, in a lot of cases, various Masters champions in the past. And he's a guy. And he also wears what do you call that? Is that a cabbie hat?
Clip Bill hat.
Yeah.
Hogan-esque.
Yeah, think of Payne Stewart. So that's the look he goes with. So hopefully he's going to do well. He's one of only a handful of amateurs that are playing in this tournament. So, and of course, the reigning reigning U.S. amateur champion plays with the defending champion. So Jordan Spieth and Bryson, ironically, both here in Dallas, are playing together. So that should be a really interesting foursome.
With a combined age, younger than us.
Yeah, exactly. Jordan's on the practice tee right now. His tee time is 9:48. Eastern time this morning, and he's out hitting balls.
But we're here live from the Azalea House, located just blocks away, feet away from the Masters.
A block away, yeah. It's footsteps.
So if you guys want to have the ultimate Masters experience, this is the place to go. And if you go to azaleahouse.com, you can book your tickets for next year.
Azalea Hospitality.
They do everything from transportation to tickets to lodging. They have it all. So coming from you live from the Masters.
We're at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Frank and Brendan. They're in Augusta, Georgia, as Jordan Spieth will be making his way to the first tee very shortly. We'll keep you an update, give you an update on what's happening in the leaderboard and also some other news from what's going on at the Masters. This is Tom Watson's. We haven't really mentioned that very much this week. Tom Watson's swan song. at Augusta, which is very significant for all these guys. Year after year, we see some of these older players that are finally saying, okay, that's it, I'm not going to play anymore. They allow them to play as long as they want if you've ever won the championship, but at some point they all have to bow out and say, okay, I don't want to take somebody else's spot and compete. So we'll talk about that and a lot more when we come back to Golf Talk America, coming to you live from the Masters when we return right after this. Welcome back, Golf Talk America, with the very familiar string quartet for the playing of the 80th Masters. Guys,
that
are
was
already
me.
Out on... It was you? Oh, I had no idea. I thought it was recorded.
I'm playing
They're
my
out on the golf
right
course.
Here.
We already have about a dozen players that are out and still waiting for a Jordan Spieth, probably the most anticipated early guy coming off. Matter of fact, the very last group is Rory McIlroy, Martin Kaymer, and Bill Haas as well. But Rory plays in the very last group going off today. Here's a couple of notes, by the way, of what happened. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but yesterday, the day before, the eve of the first round of the Masters, Jordan Spieth was practicing, and he broke his driver, which he's been playing for over a year, and had to get a replacement from Titleist, which, of course, all the trailers are right there for all the different manufacturers, so they got another driver to him. But he's playing with a brand-new driver in his hands. He practiced with it a bit yesterday, and according to reports, he came away saying, I think I like this better than the one I was playing with. So it shouldn't affect him, but it is a bit of a bad omen sometimes when you got to go with a very important club in your bag and go with a brand-new one the night before you're about to tee off for a major.
Well, I think if there's any place you could pick up a spare driver, it's probably about 120 yards away from us right now. It's a who's who of where of what kind of clubs you want to get. So
yes.
We're coming to you live from the Azalea House, just feet away from the entrance to the Masters. Best hospitality out there. They've been taking care of Frank and I this week, along with the Veterans Golf Association Tuesday for the troops. What a wonderful day. And the weather's
beautiful.
Weather's
there's a cloud.
Out.
There's a cloud. Oop. There is a cloud. It's a ribbon cloud, but there's a cloud in the sky. Just one.
Well, I tell you, the other great thing is, you know, with the transportation here, we zipped right in the day. Yesterday was a little rough.
Yesterday was brutal, yeah. But we did. We found a back way, Tim, from the house we're in, courtesy of the Azalea House and Veteran Golfers Association in Jones Creek, on Jones Creek Golf Course.
Yeah.
But we found a back way. So we come down by the Savannah River. Is that the river or the Augusta River?
Augusta.
Where are we? What day is it?
We're not in Hilton Head.
But it's a river drive the back way through downtown back to here. It's really pretty. Augusta's a pretty place.
I mean, but you come in, this is a who's who of who you're going to meet here. And we have Mark Ingrid here from the upfield group. I'm sorry. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your experience this week here.
Good to be here. Well, this is the place to be this week. Couldn't want to be anyplace else. And we're happy to be here with the NFL Alumni Association, a client of the Upfield Group. And we're working also with the Azalea House for hospitality purposes and looking to build on this for future years. And I think everything that we've seen this week is pointing to more to come in the future.
Absolutely. Now, you have a little football background yourself, University of Findlay, the pride and joy of Ohio.
Go Oilers.
Go Oilers. And then you made it to the bigs. Tell us about that.
I did. So NFL's a long place from the University of Findlay, but there's been a few of us that have made it. So I did make it 2002 through 2004, played a little bit with the Panthers and the Giants. Also played in the NFL Europe when that league was still going on. So it's been a sports career, you know, obviously a little bit of play time with the Giants, but more of a journeyman. And so
what position did you play?
I played tight end. I backed up Jeremy Shockey. I had some great coaches there. Jim Fossil's last year with the Giants and Coach Coughlin's first year. And, you know, bounced around for a little bit and was happy to be on their team and thought, you know what, after some injuries and some things, maybe best to go back to school and started my own business. So here we are.
Who was your starting quarterback?
Eli.
I had to throw that in. You know why I threw that in. Tim Matthews, you know why I threw that in. I'm an Ole Miss grad.
Oh, my God.
Ole Miss, hottie toddy.
So we have Tim Matthews coming to you live from Dallas, and he's probably one of the largest Dallas Cowboys fans
in the world.
I'll tell you what, you got Coach Mike Pope right now in Dallas, the best tight ends coach ever to come through the NFL, in my opinion. That guy's been doing it a long time, and frankly, probably better than anyone's ever done it. Jason Garrett was actually the third-string quarterback. More of a player-coach type, if you will, with the Giants when I was there.
He spent some time with the Colts as well, didn't he?
JG?
Yeah.
Kitty? No, I don't know.
Oh, wrong Tampa answer, Bay. Bob.
Yeah, but one of our other favorite teams, Tampa Bay. Yeah,
all good. So now, with your role now, you do a lot with a lot of alumni groups, NFL alumni being one of them.
Sure.
What kind of experience? I know we were with Randall McDaniel, Hall of Famer. We were with Ed Tuttle Jones yesterday.
Plaxico Burress.
Plaxico Burress. You see a lot of these guys walking around, and you're They're a lot big. Of big humans around here. Frank big. And I are just sort of blended in.
Sure.
When you have the experience, the Masters experience, with your peer group, tell us a little bit about the experience that the players have coming out to the Masters.
Sure. Well, this is great for everyone, obviously, and we're just like the regular golf fan when we come here, and there's nothing special about us. We just love golf. We've got the Super Bowl of Golf, which is a tournament that we throw every year. Next year, actually, we're going to be in Phoenix for our Super Bowl of Golf culmination. We've got 25 qualifiers around the country, and all 32 chapters of the NFL Alumni Association have their own tournament. So we celebrate golf. It's one thing that brings everyone together, even after football. It's something that we all still enjoy to do. And so we have a lot of initiatives at the NFL Alumni Association, health and wellness initiatives, player care foundation initiatives. So we find ways to help former players with everything that they have going on in their life. And benefits like the Masters hospitality and places that we're going to be anyways, it's great to work with other organizations, sponsors, and to find a common thread.
We're talking with Mark Inkrot. He's with the Upfield Group, the founder and the president. NFL Alumni Association is one of your big clients, and
sure.
You work with them, as you say.
Correct.
You know, Tim Matthews, who is the host of Golf Talk America in our Dallas studios right now, I want to bring Tim in on this question because Tim does a lot of movie junkets. He interviews lots of celebrities, and he just did an interview with, I believe, Will Smith for the movie Concussion.
Correct.
And I just wanted to get Tim in on this conversation and your thoughts, Tim, of that movie, and talk to Mark a little bit about that.
Yeah, because it is a topic that doesn't seem to go away, and much to the chagrin of the NFL, because I think they'd like it to that subject to move on and people talk about other things, but it's still out there as far as the effect of football on the brains and CTE, which is what is caused in the brain, and Junior Seau and so many others have been diagnosed with that, which you can't diagnose it until someone is dead. So that makes it very difficult to know if a current person has any issues with that. So, Mark, I'm curious, and you just played a few years, but you played a lot of football in your time, and certainly you go back to high school, and before that, you can get concussions. Any concerns that you have, or have you been around people that have had to suffer from some of those effects of a lot of concussions in their careers?
Well, certainly I've had my fair share. Going across the middle as a tight end, I've had probably 6 or 7 concussions myself. Feel completely healthy.
Look good.
I feel great. You know, yeah. I see no effects. But as you say, you know, you don't really see that coming until it's there. The NFL Alumni Association does a great job, I think, in being proactive. And of course, we all know that there's a narrative out there across the country. We've recently gone into an agreement with Validus Senior Living Inspired Care. They're building 33 senior living communities around the country in pockets of the United States where there's a high population of former players, focusing just on, having an emphasis in what they're able to provide their residents with brain issues, dementia, Alzheimer's, etc. And so there is some work being done. You know, of course, you don't necessarily hear that every day on the radio, but there is a lot of work being done, and the NFL alumni, because we do care for former players, right?
Right.
While you're playing, you don't have these issues. While you know, this point in your life, they know that the NFL Alumni Association is caring for them. They are working every day to find new opportunities, and whatever else is out there, they know our players, our constituency knows that we're on it.
Great. Well, let's
before we let him go, tell me again, just for my old brain that doesn't work as fast as it used to.
That was due to other problems.
I fell down a lot in college, and it wasn't on the football field. It was in the fraternity house. Your golf tournament. Tell us a little bit about that, a little more in depth on that.
Sure. The Super Bowl of Golf is a tournament that we do around the country. Every chapter has their own tournament. It's a celebrity tournament, but it's all paired based on handicap, so anyone can win. And we send the winner of each chapter to a different tournament. It travels. Last year it was at Sawgrass. Mm-hmm. This year it's in Phoenix. At the Hilton, at the Point.
You're coming up to our place. You can check that place
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we're going to come up. We're going to come up and see Sweeney.
So you're doing it at the Point.
Yeah, we're doing it at the Point in in Phoenix, and you know, we've traveled all around. We've done it at Pebble Beach. We go all around. Ron Jaworski, our chairman.
Jaws, you know, he owns a couple of golf courses.
Jaws owns seven courses, so he's always up for a round of golf and always up for seeing some new places of the country. But what we do, we have a great product. We send the winner from each chapter. All expenses paid trip, and then they compete for prizes. They compete for a ring, and it's we have a lot of fun. And we coincide that with our annual meeting as well, so all the former players that are around.
So I think the handicap division should be by your position. So you have all the kickers playing in one thing.
Yeah, kickers are always the cheaters, aren't they?
No, they have nothing to do except for hit golf balls all they want. You know.
When is the first tournament?
We'll start already in May for 2017. That's the nice thing about having so many different chapters is we start right after we finish.
So where will it be? Sorry.
It travels. So each chapter. So we have one in Chicago. We're going to be playing at Cog Hill in
Chicago.
Okay. Cog Hill.
Yeah. Playing number four.
Playing four at Cog Hill, and then every chapter has their own version of their Super Bowl of golf. They send a winner, and we'll do it. I think next year we're going to be at the Honda.
Maybe somebody from the Titans can do something on the golf course because they're not doing really well on the football field.
Well, I grew up in Ohio, a Browns fan.
Okay. So, there you go.
So the conversation.
He feels your pain, Frank. He feels your pain.
and now you're living in Chicago, right?
Yes.
He's suffering with the Bears again this year. So yeah.
Mark Inkrot, founder and president of Upfield Group, NFL Alumni Association, very involved with them and their clients. So, man, we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Certainly. Thanks so much.
Live from the Azalea House, just feet away from the gates of the 80th Masters, beautiful Augusta, Georgia, and a crisp morning here.
But now, as we do at the top and the bottom of every
hour.
In the middle of every hour. Or whenever we think about it, because I'm looking at the leaderboard. And Tim?
Oh, you guys, we have to feel for our friend Jim Herman.
We
got so excited about his start. Two birdies in the first two holes. He's now bogeyed three straight holes. And so he's gone from two under to one over as he's bogeyed four, five, and six. He's now on the seventh hole. So hopefully Jim can hold it together here a little bit and get back to where he'd want to be on the leaderboard, which is now owned by a couple of guys. Thangchai Jaidi is at one under par. Bernd Weisberger, there's a name that you don't hear very often on the leaderboard. He is at one under. They're both through two holes in the early going here in the first round. Derek Bard is at even par, along with a whole bunch of guys. Victor Dubuisson, Vaughn Taylor, Sandy Lyle is
Sandy
out there
Lyle.
Early. One of the oldies but goodies. Webb Simpson, Chris Wood, also all these guys. Charlie Hoffman, all off at even par. And Tom Watson, who's playing in his final Masters at the age of 66, parred the first hole, so he is even through one. He said, you know what, I've never gone into many tournaments at all, matter of fact, probably none, where I haven't expected or wanted to win the tournament. That's just the way I'm built, like a lot of great champions are. He said, I'm going into this one hoping to make the cut. So he said, that's the point that I'm at in my golf game. If I can make the cut, I would be very, very happy. We'll see how he does. But at least in the first hole, things went pretty well. By the way, A lot of tradition at the Masters, and of course, one of the biggest traditions is the starters, the official starters. And this year, it was manned by the same three guys that have been there for the last several years, and that would be Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player. The only difference being that 86-year-old Arnold Palmer is not in the best of health right now, so he did not hit a tee shot, even though Jack tried to egg him on and see if he'd maybe just hit one a little bit. He didn't care how far it went, and he was trying to encourage him, but Arnie said, no, I don't think I can. So, and Arnie really had to have people helping him on and off the tee box. So you can tell he's getting a little bit more frail and not of the best of health. Gary Player, by the way, hit a fluorescent yellow golf ball, which Jack had to give him a little bit of grief. These guys and their competition goes back, you know, 60 years. So you can imagine how many needles they've been giving each other over the years. But both Jack and Gary Player found the fairway on their tee shot, but a very significant moment there for the official starters there at the 80th Masters at Augusta.
Yeah, it's going to be we ran into Mr. Palmer, Brendan and I did, on the golf course 2 days ago, or up at the clubhouse.
Well, we were separated by a fence.
Yeah. Well, we ran
and
into
security.
Him. Yeah. And security, get away from him.
Yes.
So he looks very frail.
Mr. Palmer's like, is that Frank Bassett?
He did. He said, hey, Frank, how you doing, buddy? You know, he gave me, years ago, I was at a tournament when he was playing, then called the Senior Tour. And he and Jack and Gary were at World Golf Village when they opened that course, the King and the Bear, there. And I was walking along with him down the fairway. It was after the Players' Championship that year. Not a big crowd. And Mr. Palmer took his, after he finished, I was standing there, and I was admiring his lapel, his collar pin, you know, his little umbrella.
Yeah.
And it was the all-gold one. And he took it off and handed it to me, Tim. And I still have that in my jewelry box at home.
Very
from
cool.
him.
Very
he handed
nice.
Me that,
yeah.
That was really cool. And I treasure that little trinket.
You know, there's
the
one thing.
Who made golf what it is.
I've noticed about athletes in general, and certainly golfers. Golfers aren't normally, in general, a imposing physical specimen. But I have noticed that, and this, again, goes across the board for certainly basketball and football players, too. But golfers have big hands, big, strong hands. And Arnie's not a very tall guy, average size guy. So is Jack. They both have meat hook hands. And if you shake hands with enough golfers, you find out, especially as they get older, for guys that, you know, work with their hands all that, their hands are like farmers. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's like you would literally think that they work construction or worked a ranch or something, because their fingers, I don't know what ring sizes are, but I swear you could take one of their rings and put it over two of my fingers. That's how big these guys' hands are. So it's kind of a constant. The first time I shook Arnold Palmer's hands, which years and years ago, I noticed that we were pretty much eyeball to eyeball, so he wasn't an overly big guy. But, man, his hands, he shook my hand, and at that time he was probably 60-something and almost broke my knuckle.
Yeah, well, and his forearms are like Popeye. I mean, he had these huge forearms, too. So
absolutely. And, you know, we were playing golf with Randall, or we were at the range. We did a show the other day, and Randall McDaniel is hitting balls very close to us. And I picked up his clubs, and I'm like, wow, these are great grips. And he was playing with the Jumbo Max grips, and we had the guys on from Jumbo Max yesterday. And they're the company that are doing the grips for Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. And, you know, these are guys with big paws, and they – you know, make these oversized grips. They're really comfortable. We have a couple that we're taking home, and they're coming out with a new line for the Veterans Golf Association, that 5% of all their profits will go back to the organization. But, you know, with your hands, you know, if you have the proper tool, you need the proper handle, and these guys really came across with it, I think.
Well, they made a good point that the evolution of the golf club itself and the golf ball itself is prolific. But the grip hasn't really evolved. It's just been basically close to the same, just with a few little tweaks over all these years. So there.
Hey, by the way, another note that I think is important is we're, again, keeping an eye on the leaderboard. First round of the 80th Masters underway, and a couple of dozen guys already out on the golf course. Jordan Spieth will be teeing off very shortly, as in with a few minutes. So we'll give you an update on him, even shot by shot, as much as we can. And people might be listening to this, obviously, down the road later in the day, and it could be a final round. But we'll let you know how it's going as it's happening here in real time. But you guys notice also that earlier in the week, Billy Payne, the chairman of Augusta National, talked about what's going on with the Olympics and how thrilled everybody is in the golf world, including the people at the Masters, that the Olympics has invited golf back into the list of sports that they're playing. And if you notice, pretty significant that they, along with all the other majors, U.S. Open, British Open, the PGA Championship, are inviting the gold medalist in the men's Olympics. They get an invitation into those tournaments. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty neat.
That's really cool. That's,
well, do you really think that the qualified golfer who's going to win a gold medal in the Olympics will be – they're probably already in.
Probably. Well,
maybe
I mean,
not.
Most chances, but you never know. That upsets happen in golf, and it could be. I mean, you're getting Olympians from all over different countries. From this country, it's going to be Spieth and somebody, you know, Spieth and Ricky, whoever's number two in the rankings at the time. But for other countries, and let's just bring up, you know, it could be Mexico, could be Portugal. You never know when some guy just catches fire, and I think that would be the cool part about it is if, sure, Jordan Spieth's going to get to the Masters anyway. But it would be really neat if some guy that we've never really heard much of coming from the Asian countries or somewhere in Europe that we don't really know much about somehow pulls out a gold medal and wins and gets invited to these tournaments. It would be kind of changing his whole life.
Are you ready for my dark horse country?
Sure.
Dark horse country, not Jamaica.
I'm going with Belgium. I'll take Thomas Peters.
There you go.
And maybe Thomas Gentry, Dietrich, out of both played golf at University of Illinois. But
oh, here we go.
But
I knew it had a tie.
No, but Thomas Peters, he played in the World Cup the other day. I think he finished 30th. You know, he took Adam Scott to the 18th hole.
That's true.
And finished up strong. So yeah, I would assume, but he's number like 53 in world golf rankings. So if you look at the world golf rankings and the gold medals, who would be the dark horse? I don't know.
But you can also look at it this way, too. There could be somebody that has fallen off the list, right, that's not getting invited to the Masters. And that happens all the time. You kind of assume that Ernie Els and Justin Leonards and these guys, have past champions and major winners, are always going to go. But unless they've won the Masters, they can fall off that list and not Davis Love and those guys and go, wow, they haven't played the Masters in 5 or 6 years. So not that those, you know, Davis Love's going to win the gold medal, but there could be somebody at a country that is very, very good, but maybe hasn't been invited to the Masters in a while. It solidifies, I think, as well, that golf should be in the Olympics. And so the fact that all the different organizations from USGA and PGA and the Masters have all said, yes, you guys get invited. If you win the gold medal, you get invited. I think as much as anything, it's significant to point out that golf belongs in the Olympics, and it is a major player in the Olympics, so that it's not going to be one of these sports that's kind of in and out in a couple of Olympics, and then they go, we're not going to do that anymore.
We have a major update for you, Tim.
Yes.
Ricky Fowler is two over through one.
He double bogeyed the first hole.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yep. That's out of character for Ricky Fowler.
Well, you know what, guys? He's got 35 left to play before Friday afternoon. I think he'll be fine.
Always these stories. Remember when Tiger won significantly in 97? What did he shoot on the front nine of his first Masters that he won going away in record fashion? He shot
41? 40. Oh, 40,
40. 40 on his front nine.
Robert Streb, by the way, through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is 5 over.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, today
this wind's kicking up.
Yeah, the wind's breezy out here. We, you know, we're sort of in a valley off Azalea right here, and this could be picking up 18 to 22 miles an hour by this afternoon. So, if you're teeing off this afternoon, I think the early morning guys have an advantage with the weather.
But it is starting to kick up right now. We can really feel it, and it's cooler than it was when we first got here this morning.
And so, we are coming to you live from the Azalea House, located just feet away from the entrance of Augusta National Golf Course, at the 80th Masters.
Who do you guys think would have the biggest following there? I mean, maybe Spieth seems like an obvious answer, but is it not obvious? Is there somebody you think would have a bigger gallery?
Well, I think
Watson. Watson's going to have a huge gallery.
But if you look, and Phil, you know, Phil Mickelson's going off with Stenson, sure, and Mark Lehman. But if you're looking at the young guns, if you look at Bryson DeChambeau, there we go again with Jordan Spieth. That group's got to be just packed. But I think it's really tough, Tim, to actually follow a group here at Augusta, because you're normally just camping out.
Right.
It's hard to go from hole to hole to hole to hole.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It gets about 10 deep on the
It was 10 deep on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was absolutely
amazing. But the way it's designed, I mean, it's the topography is such that you can see what's going on the course. I mean, you're not blocked, even though you have 6 or 8 or 10 people in front of you. So gorgeous. Wow.
You look at some of those people, right, when you're especially like Amen Corner, when you're there and you see these bleachers are set up, don't you get the feeling that some of those people haven't left since last year? They live among the trees or something, and then just kind of come back out on Monday, and they get their seats again, and they're not leaving. It's like I look up in those stands, and there are some elderly husbands and wives, and you know they're not leaving. This is our spot. We've been here since 1962, and God, we're going to sit here and watch.
But the great thing, Tim, like on 16, you know, when they're skipping the balls across the water, they're in the practice rounds. When I had my son here a couple years ago, you know, the chairs were about eight deep, and they're all empty. And I went to a fellow, I'm like, whose chairs are these? And the guy said, just go sit down. And the common courtesy is if you take a seat and the guy comes back, you just stand up and there you go.
So you get to use the chair.
Yeah, you get to use the chair, no questions asked. And it's just the etiquette of what golf is and what golf is like at Augusta National.
But when he came up, you didn't get up. He said, it's my chair. I'm keeping it. I'm not moving. I love this spot.
Hey, always carry a Sharpie with you. That's all I got to say.
Which is why Brendan is never allowed on the grounds at Augusta ever again. Hey, by the way, speaking of the grounds, I don't know if I've told you the story before, but we talked earlier, I think a couple of days ago, about how immaculate the grounds are and the entire, once you go past the pearly gates, how beautiful this place is. And Augusta is just kind of known for that, you know, so unique and different than every other golf course that that people have ever seen. And so I know a lot of the people who work for CBS and do the TV broadcast, and the what I've heard from these guys, and I guess it's true, is that for the last 30 years or so, that there's an open bet, if you will, that if anybody can find a weed anywhere on the golf course, not just in the fairway or near a green, it could be in the rough. If you find a weed, you get $500.
I'm taking my own.
And for like 30 years now, whether you're a cameraman and you guys, you've been on the grounds and anybody's been there, there are camera people, and, you know, so CBS has 100 people, maybe 150 people that are all over the course, certainly leading up to the tournament and during the tournament to lay down the cables and everything else that they have to do. And nobody in 30 years has claimed nobody can find a weed. And believe me, for $500, I'd be looking, right? You're going, hey, that's an easy $500. I'd be kicking around some pine needles and stuff to try to find a dandelion somewhere, and you can't find one. That's how pristine this golf course is. When I was there the first time, I actually was watching a guy during a break in play. He was going around with hand shears, almost like you would tweak your eyebrows or something, around the bunkers to make sure that the grass, which had grown probably a fraction of a centimeter, was cut even again. And he was just precisely, almost like a manicure guy, was going around the edges of there to make sure that the grass was even out. It's unbelievable how well they take care of that golf course.
It's absolutely perfect. You're absolutely right, Tim. It's
it really is like no
something
other
to behold. It's, as they say, CBS. And Tim's a CBS guy, so he knows a lot about this thing. You should be here. Why aren't you here?
Good point.
Well, you should be here.
We'll be back tomorrow, won't we?
We will. We're going to stay on just a little longer with you today. We're waiting on Mark Lammy to join us from Lake Oconee. He's the vice president of golf at Reynolds Lake Oconee. He may be caught in traffic, so why don't we take a break, come back, and we can kind of start wrapping things up and get Mark in a chair if we can find him.
Okay. Let's take a break. It's top of the hour, and we'll give you a look at the leaderboard and talk more about what's going on at Augusta. Round one of the Masters, the 80th Masters. When we come back to Golf Talk America, stay with us. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you in the studio, joined by Frank Bassett and Brendan Sweeney with French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. And they're coming to us from the beautiful Azalea House in Augusta, right across the street from Augusta National, where the 80th Masters is underway. About 10 groups are already out on the golf course, and on the first hole right now is the featured group of the morning. That's Jordan Spieth, Paul Casey, and reigning U.S. amateur champion Bryson DeChambeau. So we'll give you an update on how they're doing as soon as we have one, but right now they don't have TV coverage showing those guys, and that group's going out. The actual network TV coverage begins later in the afternoon, somewhere around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So those guys will certainly already be done by the time that happens. But later groups that you'll be able to see teeing off later, you have Sergio Garcia and Ryan Moore. You have Martin Keimer, Rory McIlroy in the very, very last group. Bubba Watson will be going off a little bit later. So a lot of those guys will get a lot of TV coverage. Jason Day goes off at 1 o'clock Eastern time, and so he'll, of course, be covered by the afternoon coverage for that. There is also a way that you can watch this, as I was telling Frank earlier. You can go to cbssports.com, go to the website, and they have streaming coverage of featured groups. Today's featured group that you can watch streaming at cbssports.com is the group we were just talking about, that Spieth and DeChambeau and Casey.
I'll be doing on the way home today. I got to cut out of here. Kind of cut out from the
after the show,
house, but I'll put it on the iPad, cruising down I-95 to catch our Bishop Moore Hornets district championship game in Orlando, Florida.
You get a free T-shirt for saying that or something?
No, only at the Azalea House. So
Hey, by the way, the leaderboard has Thongjae JD now alone at the top. He birdied the third
two
hole.
Under.
So through three hole, he's at two under. Bernd Weisberger is at one under par. So they're the only guys on the golf course right now out of about, you know, 20 guys. Only two under par. Everybody else even par. Even though the conditions are pretty good right now, it will get tougher as the wind kicks up. So these guys that are out there right now, including Jordan Spieth's group, have a golden opportunity to score well before the winds kick up, because it could get in the afternoon up to 25 mile-an-hour winds.
Hey, by the way, Tim, our friend Trevor Immelman is one over. So our friend Mark Immelman, who does On the Mark with us, he's part of our PGA Tour radio family. So, yeah, man. Hey, guess who just joined us?
Who's that?
We have somebody from one of the other places that we think is heaven on earth. It's called Lake Oconee. And we're joined with Mark Lammy. He's the PGA Master Professional, but he's also the Vice President of Golf Operations for the Reynolds Lake Oconee.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
It's good to see you. Looking good.
Thanks.
A PGA professional.
Yeah. I do my best to play the part.
Yeah, man. Tim Matthews is with us. He's in the Dallas studios right
Wonderful.
Now. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort's with us.
Great to see you guys.
So what's going on over there this week? You guys have to be jamming.
Well, yeah, there's this little tournament down the road. Helps us out for sure. It's our busiest week of the year. And we've got, we'll do 7,500 rounds or so over our six golf courses just this week. So it is our kickoff to the season as well. And we love to celebrate it along with Augusta National.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a lot of people that are staying there. And are you shuttling people over?
We do. With the Ritz-Carlton on property, we've got the Ritz-Carlton Reynolds on property. They run a shuttle back and forth for guests staying at the hotel. And then we've got a lot of private services around the lake that also provide transportation back and forth. So, it's a great opportunity. So many people come in, play 2 days of golf, go to the tournament for 2 days, enjoy some great food and beverage, and just make it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Total turnkey operation.
Yeah. It is.
And you also have a guy over there named Charlie King.
Yeah.
Crazy Charlie.
I was actually just talking to him on the drive over, so he consumed most of my time driving over, which was nice to kill the time on round 20. But he's our director of instruction. And we just brought it back. Charlie had worked for us for years now, but for a while he was doing an independent thing for us. Just brought it back in-house along with our TaylorMade facility, which was the Kingdom. TaylorMade's only other spot besides Carlsbad on the earth where you can come and get fit for golf clubs, have them built on-site by a tour builder and a tour trailer. So we've got the retired tour trailer right on our property. And just the beginning of this year, we brought the Kingdom side in-house and took over that operation, and now we own and operate that side for TaylorMade, and then brought Charlie back in-house to form the Reynolds Kingdom of Golf. So we are right now in the process of building out some additional hitting bays, covered stalls, and by the time we get done, we'll have, I think, one of the best game improvement centers in the Southeast when it's all said and done.
Mark Lammy, PGA Master Professional, Vice President Golf Operations from Reynolds Lake Oconee, and if you want to see more about that to our listeners, it's reynoldslakeoconee.com, O-C-O-N-E-E. Oconee.
That's right.
It's an Indian name, right?
Creek Indian word, yep.
So what's the story about the golf courses? They're all, I'm sure, very different.
They are.
But they're playable for somebody, you know, at a 24 handicap all the way down to a plus three.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the great thing about our facilities. When you've got 117 holes to play with, 99 of which are accessible to the resort guests coming in, whether they're staying in our cottages or staying at the hotel, you have anything from the Oconee Golf Course, which is right across from the Ritz, which is a Reese Jones design. Very playable, fun golf course. Some great views of the lake. Great Waters, which is our Jack Nicklaus signature, which is the one that's probably the most renowned. Hosted the Anders Consulting way back in the 90s.
Right.
Professional national championship for the PGA of America.
What year did you have the PNC?
2008. So I know you guys have had it.
We had it in 2010.
Yeah.
We,
you guys
we
have been coming again?
French Lick.
Yeah.
French Lick Resort had it.
Great spot.
Yeah, we had a couple guys from Georgia. I think Sonny Skinner came in second.
Yep.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, Sonny finished second in ours as well.
Who won yours?
Scott Ebert from up in, I think, Michigan, I think is where Scott was from.
Oh, yeah. He has Grand Traverse Resort.
Yeah, that's right.
Great guy.
Yep, little guy.
Why can't we get, Tim, can't we get some Southerners to win some of this stuff instead of all these guys? Oh, you're from Illinois. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tim.
We had Mike Small.
I was going to say, Mike Small. You got Mike Small up there. So he had the PGA Cup in 2007, which is essentially a PGA professional version of the Ryder Cup. And Mike played in it and enjoyed coming down. So we had that at the Oconee. But
Tim Thielen, Ron Filo, all those guys.
All those guys.
Mark Shevchek up at Marion.
Yep.
Good stuff.
For people coming, not even to the Masters, let's talk about the rest of the year after this week is over with. You're halfway between Augusta and Atlanta, basically.
We are.
So just fly to Atlanta.
Yep.
And you have transportation also that y'all can provide from the airport.
We can, yeah. We can set that up privately. You know, as I always say, we're literally three turns from the Atlanta airport. You're out of the airport on the 285, on the 20, and then a right-hand turn off of 20, and you're home. So
how far?
About, you know, from the airport, an hour and 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, we're the same way from Louisville.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, we're two turns.
Yeah.
Two turns from the Louisville airport.
And I'm sure same for you guys. It's once you get outside of the city, it's just a beautiful pastoral drive out, and, you know, you can kind of unwind a little bit, get ready for the week for however long you're coming in. We have so many members also. You know, we've got over 3,000 members on property.
Wow.
Well, I should say 3,000 memberships that equate to about 6,000 people, about 2,200 rooftops just on our property. So we've got a ton of members that live in Atlanta and just love to get out of the city Thursday evening, come and spend a long weekend, and do that pretty much every weekend of the year.
How many you have? How many holes?
117.
How many other golf courses out there, resorts, have that many on property? I don't think any.
Not too many. Pinehurst has 9 now.
You have 9, yeah.
Desert Mountain I think they have 7. The Cliffs, which is spread out, has 7. So they all have a little more than us, but Cliffs, again, you can be an hour from one end to the other. We're all within 20 minutes of each other, all on the same property. So there's not many for sure.
Now, how many employees do you have at the golf course?
On the operations side for golf, we have probably in season close to 200, 180 or so in season. It's about 30 per facility. Just on the golf ops side, maintenance has that equal amount. And then total property, we have over 1,000 employees, including the Ritz-Carlton.
Now, when you start going through the checklist of what can we do to grow the game of golf, what are you guys doing on the junior side?
Yeah, we've actually really kicked off a lot of new junior initiatives. You know, for us, a long time ago, we were more of a retirement community, and we've really transitioned to be much more of an active lifestyle community, no matter how old you are and how long you want to stay. And so that's from a resort standpoint or from an ownership standpoint. So over the last several years, we've had a lot of commerce come around the lake and a lot of commercial and retail, so people now can live there and work there and raise their kids there. We've got a blue ribbon top probably 40 in the country charter school that's just off our property. That is just amazing. And so with all of that, we've kicked in a ton of junior initiatives. Well, by bringing Golf Academy back in-house, we hired a gentleman named Rob Bowser, who was McLean's right-hand man for several years down at Doral, to be our player development manager. And he's running all of our junior programming. With TaylorMade now being the national sponsor of the AJGA, we've started to do a lot of things with the AJGA, which is really exciting.
Oh, no. You don't have to deal with Jim Nugent, do you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, jeez.
But they're also
I've dealt with Jim before, though, so it's okay.
They're also headquartered in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, they're Chateau Alain, which is up the road from us. And so it's a nice relationship, and we have a lot of nice perks we have for the AJGA kids to come in and get fit through TaylorMade. And come and use the facilities and get instructed if they would like. In fact, we're hosting the Rolex Tournament of Champions in June at Great Waters, which we are really excited about. Those kids are just amazing to watch play.
It is. What about college golf?
Yeah, we host the Linger Longer Invitational, which is now in its 11th year. Lee McCoy just won it for the second year in a row. You know, we've had Justin Thomas playing it. Corey Whitsitt won it several years in a row. Ricky Fowler. I think if you look at the winnings of all of the alumni, it's well into the $20 million range now, plus a couple majors.
And that's what I think is really cool about my position at French Lick. I mean, we hosted the Big Ten Championships for 3 years, and then we had the Club Pro Championship. And then you see these guys outside, you know, like take, for example, like Luke Guthrie or Thomas Peters, and now they're making it big on the PGA Tour. And you go up and throw them a high five, and it's like, hey, I remember you when you were that big.
So. Yeah, and those kids are great. We host all of them in members' houses, which is a really cool feature. So members host all of the teams in the houses, and so they develop this cool relationship over there for the freshmen during their 4 years there to always want to come back to the same house. And so it's a really neat feature for them to be able to enjoy it. You know, we've got Bard, who's playing from Virginia, that's playing in the field this week, was there 2 weeks ago and playing in the tournament. So it's neat for our members to be able to have that connection.
And he's even through 6 holes.
That's very nice. I watched him stripe one on 9 the other day.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, they're on the course. Of course, for those of you listening to the program later in the day, this will be old news for you. But and by the way, the program will be posted on PGAtour.com for anyone to go listen to after 1 p.m. this afternoon. PGAtour.com/podcasts, where John Swantek's show, Talk of the Tour, Mark Immelman's show, On the Mark, and the premiere radio show on PGA Tour Radio, Golf Talk America, live. We all live on the PGA Tour. So go out there and listen to us.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we're Mark Lammy, PGA professional, like a coach.
Master professional.
Master. How does one become a master professional?
It's an education process. You know, it's, as I look at it, when you get your PGA membership, that's like getting your undergrad. And then there's a certification process that's like your master's. And then the master professional process is like a PhD. So it's just the third. It's the highest level of education within the PGA of America. I think there's, you know, I'm certified in golf operations as a master professional. There's, I think, 150 or so out of the 28,000 PGA members.
Where'd you grow up?
Pennsylvania, about an hour north of Philadelphia in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, no kidding. So,
favorite NFL team?
The Eagles.
Okay, we knew it. There it is.
Here's Tim.
Sorry about that, Tim.
Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, just our new general manager just joined us. He's from Fort Worth, so we've already had a couple battles, and he's already bought me dinner at least once.
Well, Tim is diehard SMU and diehard Cowboys.
Yeah, I
Tim Matthews.
So,
is,
yeah. So. Yeah, I went to Penn State, so I'm a true blue.
What'd you get out of there?
99.
So there, Robbie Gould was there?
Work release?
Yeah, yeah. He was there just before me, yeah. Yep.
He's a kicker for the Bears.
Yeah.
They have a football coach that took a whole lot of recruits from Nashville, Tennessee, and spun out of town in the middle of the night and went to Penn State.
Still can't win, so yeah. They're working
Franklin,
on it, though.
Franklin, boy, he doesn't need to drive through Nashville, Tennessee ever again, I could tell you. He's not real loved at Vanderbilt right
now.
So you
went through the PGM program at Penn State.
I did.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
You got to be buddies with Joe Hallett, too. Do you know Crazy Joe, Stacy's instructor?
No, I don't. I know the name, but I don't know him personally, no.
Well, Greg Nye?
You have the same personality that Joe does. He's real active and fun, that's great.
Coach Nye at Penn State, you know, his brother's the head golf professional over at Marion,
yep.
So it's an interesting little connection there.
He's really a special guy. We had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him, and he's got a great program at Penn State, and all their kids are just amazing. So.
Yeah, they're solid this year. They're top 20 this year. They've had a good run of it.
So the stigma of Northern golf in college is no longer true.
Yeah, except their number one player is from Georgia. So.
Well, we had a Yale graduate on yesterday.
Yes,
on the show.
Sir Robert Trent Jones.
Sir Robert Trent Jones Jr. was on our show yesterday. He was live here with us. And
wonderful.
We had a lot of fun with him. Let me ask you this: over at Lake Oconee, reynoldslakeoconee.com, there's also one or two private courses there.
We've got one. Yeah, the one. Creek Club, which is a Jim Ang design.
Okay.
You know, it rivals what they have up at French Lick in terms of the look and feel from a dye standpoint. It's like a moonscape. Jim does most of his stuff out west, so a lot of Colorado, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a lot of those facilities. So when he designs, it's a lot of movement, and we've got a lot of elevation change. You mentioned the difference from that property. We have anything from Great Waters, which is pretty much right on the lake and rolling hills, to all the way on the other side of the property is Creek and Oconee, and you've got 100-foot elevation change and things like that. So he took a piece of land that was just spectacular and made it a landscape masterpiece, really. So that's our private club for our highest level membership.
I can't wait to get over there. I'll be there Sunday evening.
Yeah,
arriving
great.
Sunday evening, and I think we're playing Creek Club on Tuesday.
You are, yeah. We're doing a great event Monday for everybody. We're doing a media day for the tournament champions with Rolex, so Brian Harmon there and Stuart Sink are going to come over as AJGA alumni. And
it was funny.
They sent kids. It's going to be cool.
Of course, Hunter Public Relations is handling that, and Karen Morgan and Ed, the team, they represent us too. And so she sends me this, Frank, what size are you this? What's this? What's that? And I said, don't you want my wrist size also so they can
go ahead and
take the links out of that new Yachtmaster that we're going to all receive when we get there? But I can't wait to get over there. Mark, I certainly appreciate you joining us and coming all the way over to do that. One thing we didn't touch on, what's the big charity in your area of the country?
You know, we've got, I see here that we've got the Veterans Golf Association here right with you guys now. We have
Tuesday for the Troops. These
yeah, awesome. I saw that you guys did that yesterday, right? Or 2 days ago. We've got a lot of different charities. That's the great thing about our membership. They're so philanthropic. They have all different charities that they support, but a really big one for us is the Veterans Hospital in Augusta. And we've got a very, very strong Veterans Association run an event, or two of our members run an event every year in November that is the Veterans Cup that started as just a small, almost Ryder Cup against all the different branches because we had so many veterans on property, and it's turned into just a full fundraiser. So they've bought a beautiful van for the Veterans Hospital down here to get the wounded warriors around. We donate literally probably 1,000 golf clubs a year over to the hospital.
Fabulous.
They go over and do a lot of charity. So that's one of the biggest ones in our area, which is great to support.
Fabulous.
We had Lieutenant Aaron Orchard on today. And
wonderful.
He was one of the co-founders of the Veterans Golf Association. And the veterans that are coming back from Afghanistan, they use golf as a tool to get over post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how the game of golf could really touch somebody's lives. I mean, they're talking suicidal thoughts and when they're coming back, and just focusing 5 hours a day on something besides the noise that they heard over there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's wonderful. And that's wonderful.
If you need anything from us, from French Lick, I'll be more than happy to donate a little stay and play.
I appreciate that very much. So. Appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. Mark Lammy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
we'll
for
see
having
you,
me.
Lake Oconee. Go to the website, folks, reynoldslakeoconee.com. Check it out. It is a must-go-do destination. It certainly is, and I can't wait to get over there. You're leaving town, Brendan Sweeney. You're gone, so you won't get to play with us.
That's fine.
Let's do have you come back another time.
Don't let him back on the property.
Well, you do this. But we're coming to you live from the Azalea House, located right across the street from the entrance to the Masters at the 80th Masters.
Where tents are blowing down as we speak. The wind, Tim Matthews, are you still there? It's really picked up over here. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. It's been a great show today. We thank everybody for listening. Tim, get us out of here, would you?
Hey, let me, before I do, give you one little update here. Tom Watson is tied for the lead. He is at one under par, and everybody else, Dubuisson, Weisberger, Jaidi, are all one under par, but Tom Watson on the fourth hole is tied for the lead here at 66 years old. May never be able to say that again, but at least we can say it now. Jordan Spieth is hitting his second shot on the second hole. He parred the first hole, so he is at even par after the first hole, and his second shot on the par five, second, a little bit short of the bunker, right front bunker there on the second hole. So up and down for a birdie there. We'll see what happens with Jordan Spieth. But tomorrow we'll be back, talk to you some more about what happens here in the first round. As you said, Frank, the wind kicking up, and it could be a completely different tournament here in the second half of today's first round. That should do it for us. We appreciate it. For everybody that joined us, thank you so much for being with us. For Frank Bassett and the soon-to-be-traveling Brendan Sweeney, thanks for your time. Thanks for being there. And we'll see you again tomorrow right here on Golf Talk America.